The drip, drip, drip of revelations about NSA spying provokes strong reaction here in the U.S. Critics accuse the government of violating a fundamental American right to privacy. But Harvard historian and New Yorker writer Jill Lepore says it's worth taking a minute to consider the fact that the concept of privacy actually has a past.
Privacy has a really cool history that historians have spent a lot of time trying to figure out. It's just one of those things where you might think it's kind of eternal, that, you know, we have this sense of our private space and our homes being private and the ideas we have being private.
But Lepore says we're not wrong to think that about our modern ideas about privacy. It's not eternal. It wasn't in the Constitution. And the assertion of a right to privacy always follows the rise of new technologies. Jill Lepore told David Hyde that in the 19th century, long before email, just being able to send a letter through regular mail was a fairly new technology for most people and one that could lead to the invasion of privacy.
The story that I like best, that illuminates the most, I think, about what's gone on in the 19th century, is the story of Giuseppe Mazzini, who was an Italian revolutionary who was in exile living in England in the 1840s. And his story is about a set of ideas about the privacy of the mail. Mazzini came to believe that his mail had been tampered with. Like, people you'd have an envelope and you'd seal it with wax so that you would know when your letter arrived that no one else had read it. And his letters arrived with the wax all sealed, but he had reason to believe that it had been tampered with. He was concerned about the secrecy of his correspondence because he was engaged in revolutionary activities and he was in exile and he was, you know, there was a warrant for an arrest in five capital cities of Europe. So the reason he thought his mail was being tampered with because it always arrived later than everybody else's in his building. So he got a bunch of letters and he sent a bunch of letters, identical letters on the same day to himself and to everybody else in his building and to various other friends. And in each of the envelopes, before he sealed them, he put little things like grains of sand or strands of hair, or poppy seeds. And then he sealed up the envelopes and he sent out all the mail. And when the mail got to his friends and to the other people in his building, all the little grains of sands and the strands of hair and the poppy seeds were still there. But when the mail came to him, even though the seal was still sealed, there were none of these little tiny microscopic items in the letters. So he knew his mail had been read. And he went to a friend of his who was a member of parliament, outraged about this. And the member of parliament, similarly outraged, raised it on the floor of parliament. And there ensued a debate in which a member of parliament said to the Home Secretary, are you reading, is the British government opening and reading Giuseppe Mazzini's mail? And it's much like the NSA thing in that the Home Secretary said, I can't answer that question. which revealed, of course, the answer to that question was yes. So they conducted it. They formed, the parliament formed this committee on the investigation of the secrecy of the mail. And it turned out that although most members of parliament did not know, similarly to one suspects, most members of Congress did not know fully about the PRISM program of the NSA, for instance, that there was such a thing as the British Post Office Department of Secrecy. And so they did this like year-long investigation and turned out that the government was actually reading people's mail. And what's fascinating about that moment is that then the secret department of the post office was shut down, but there was a huge amount of press about it, a lot of press in the United States. And my point here is that mail, like the rise of literacy, so where people, ordinary people, would get letters and be able to read them, which is fairly new at that time, creates all kinds of anxiety about privacy. Because when you think about a letter, like you've spilled out the contents of your head onto a piece of paper. It's like extruding your brain and waving it around. It gets people really nervous in the same way that, you know, if you send a text to the wrong person or you forward an email by mistake and you feel that just that panic of exposure, that something that you did not want to put out into the world from inside of your head has spilled out. People felt that way about mail in the 19th century, which, again, sort of kind of a comfort to me to know that it's not new, but it is dependent on technological change.
So it really is driven by these new technologies like letters, essentially, and the internet and the government's ability to snoop into these things. But that actually shapes people's perception of their self and what's private and what's public.
Yes. And in fact, the tragedy of it here is that the case for privacy always comes too late, if I'm right, right? Because if these new technologies of exposure, like photography in the 19th century is the other big one, it's not just letters, it's newspapers and cameras and letters. If what makes you realize or become sensitive to what is private is the existence of these technologies of publication, of publicity, then you don't have the sense of privacy until you've already lost it. And that's what always happens.
So, and you write, you know, Google already knows, notwithstanding your demographic, that you hate kale, as an example, which is perfect for Seattle, although everybody here likes kale. But your point...
would admit that they don't like kale.
True.
Let me just clarify. That's what you meant to say.
But, you know, so the point that you're making here is that we've already given up so much of our privacy that the time at which we become anxious about the government snooping, we're kind of like, we're sort of shrugging at this point because we know that most of our privacy has already been given up.
I mean, I guess I would just clarify. I think many people are far more anxious about the commercial snooping than the government snooping. I mean, the government snooping gets a lot of media attention because there's an obvious kind of political action point, like Congress has to either investigate or not investigate, and who knows what, you know. And then there are these various there are these other issues involving kind of media celebrities like Julian Assange. But the deeper and more pervasive form of invasion of privacy electronically has to do with corporations. It has to do with Google itself.
What's the final lesson that you want to impart to, you know, that ACLUer who's out there listening to this and saying, yeah, but, you know, what do I do? What do I learn from history?
You know, I think we need to learn from history in order to think harder, but I don't know that we get an agenda from history.
Jill Lepore, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Harvard historian and New Yorker staff writer Jill Lepore talked with David Hyde about the continuing NSA spying scandal and the history of the modern concept of a right to privacy. This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.